This is Sound and Query, the Southern Illinois University Medical Library's podcast. I'm Lydia Howes, your host and one of many friendly librarians here. Tune in for information about the School of Medicine's activities and research, library events and resources, and anything else that we deem interesting. One of the greatest things about SIU School of Medicine is its fantastic faculty and staff and all the work they do in our community and beyond. Many of them donate their time and expertise to various charities and programs. I recently sat down with two such people who volunteer with Operation Smile, an international medical charity that provides free surgeries to correct cleft lips, palates, and other facial deformities. Dr. Kevin Calder is an experienced pediatric plastic surgeon who works at SIU as an assistant professor and the director of the Congenital Head and Neck Anomalies Clinic. Maria Ansley is a medical photographer in the Institute for Plastic Surgery. They have both worked with Operation Smile on several missions and had so many interesting stories that we split the conversation into two parts. Today on Sound and Query, we'll discuss Operation Smile's mission and how Maria and Dr. Calder became involved in this great organization. Next week, we'll learn more about the people they help, what happens on each mission, and how you can get involved. We're excited to have you on Sound and Query. Thanks for coming.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
What is Operation Smile? We have this podcast on it, and I'm not sure that everybody's familiar with the program.
Operation Smile is a charity that was organized in 1982 with its first mission to Naga City, the Philippines. And it started out as a medical mission from Virginia and has since grown to a multinational charitable organization with foundations in over 60 countries around the world. And having done over approximately 250,000 free surgeries, these are for children and adults who are born with a cleft lip or cleft palate in areas of the world and developing countries where they've not had the opportunity or access to medical care in order to receive those surgeries.
And what is a cleft lip or palate?
A cleft lip or palate is a congenital deformity that children are born with, where you have a failure of the lip to fuse together and you have a cleft, as it says, or a hole that can begin at the mouth and can extend up to the nose or the nasal floor and then extend back to include the hard palate and or the soft palate. So it can involve the lip only, it can involve the palate only, or it can involve the lip and the palate.
And what types of difficulty does this present? Why do you need to fix it surgically?
Great question. It starts developmentally. These children, they're unable to initiate a suck. And so it's very difficult for them to breastfeed. They have a difficult time with breastfeeding, but also feeding with a spoon or through a cup. And so they end up getting a lot of food through their nose, coughing, sometimes aspiration. And so they have a difficult time with malnutrition. And then later on in life, during that speech window where children develop their words and begin speaking, they can't phonate properly. And so they end up being unable to say certain things. They have a very airy sound to their voice and they're unable to make sounds with their lips. And so they are have difficulties with communication. If they do survive through the perinatal period, difficult times with communication, then of course they're often ostracized. They have difficult times developmentally, socially, and psychologically because they're unable to participate in, you know, societal norms that other children are able to participate in. So they're often sheltered, kept at home, unable to obtain an education.
You've told us why we might want to get it fixed, and you also mentioned that Operation Smile goes to places where these types of surgeries are not easily available. And what is it that makes it so difficult to get these surgeries?
It's a great question. Oftentimes, it's a lack of money. In certain countries, they don't have access to insurance. A lot of patients that are born with cleft lip and palate, they work, the parents work in the fields, and they make very, very little money compared to how much money it costs to pay for a surgery. So oftentimes it's because of a lack of resources in terms of funding. Sometimes it's a lack of access in terms of surgical care. So some countries may have, you know, 1 to 10 or none in terms of plastic surgeons who are able to fix this condition. And even if they do have plastic surgeons who are available to fix a condition, they may be in a large city where some of these patients and families may live in the mountains. They may live hundreds of kilometers or miles away from one of these centers. So it's multifactorial. Sometimes patients and families, because of religious reasons or fixed societal beliefs, believe the child was born that way and should never be fixed. So there's all sorts of things that play into a reason why a child would never have it fixed. And some of these children, the earliest they may get repaired at it would be at 6 months, but I've done surgeries on adults who are in their 50s who've never had the opportunity to have their cleft lip and palate fixed.
So it's never too late to get it fixed.
No, it's never too late. No, some of the risks with palate surgery do increase with time, but you're right, it's never too late.
You mentioned it's a multifaceted problem, and it sounds like Operation Smile can help solve some of those problems, but what can be done about some of the cultural or religious beliefs that you've mentioned? Or is there anything that Operation Smile does to counter?
Absolutely. So like you said, there's some cultural or even sometimes religious beliefs that can sway somebody to thinking the reason behind why a cleft can occur. And so Operation Smile not only does the surgeries in order to benefit patients, but they also educate, help to inform them. And there's a series of research studies that Operation Smile does in order to understand the reasons why patients believe that clefts are formed or occur. And they're also doing a very large genetic study through the University of Southern California called the International Family Study, where they're taking actually genetic samples of patients with clefts throughout the world in order to identify some of the genetic causes as well. So it's research, it's education, it's all the surgeries in and of themselves, and then trying to inform and educate and bring full circle the mission of Operation Smile.
Thanks for all that background. I'm sure that it helps everyone listening understand why Operation Smile exists and the good that they're doing. Now, just shifting topics a little bit, could you each describe how you initially got involved in Operation Smile? And maybe we'll start with Maria, since
sure.
We've heard less from you so far.
Oh, that's okay. I got involved with Operation Smile probably years ago when I started working in plastic surgery at SIU. And my involvement was on the back end, watching the surgeons that I work with and the residents that I work with come back from missions. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful thing to be able to be a part of. And had always thought that would be something I'd really like to do. Didn't think it would ever happen. And a few years ago, we had a patient come through our office that had a craniofacial defect and needed some photography to send off to some specialists in Chicago. And I use some of our 3D imaging to do that. With 3D imaging, you have the ability to do so much more and to figure things out more, but you need a pool of patients to do that with. And fortunately, in the United States, I think with better prenatal care and just genetics in general too, I'm guessing, we don't have as many cleft lips, and it would take years upon years to be able to gather that or have every institute in the United States taking pictures to even get enough to be able to study. And so I approached Operation Smile about using the 3D technology, and it took a couple of years, and I went on my first mission in 2014. So there you go.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on this 3D imaging and technology? And
let's see. We have a camera in our office. It's made by Canfield, which is a company out of New Jersey. And it, when I say it's a camera, it's really multiple cameras. It is six cameras built into one that is tethered to a computer. And you take the image and it builds a three-dimensional model of the patient. It is primarily used, and it was built for the cosmetic world. We use it for cosmetic patients for anything from a rhinoplasty to breast augmentation. So this was something that was completely different, a different use for the machine, but that machine was not something that you could take on a mission. It's the size of a small refrigerator, so that wasn't going to work. So I started looking at the company's website, and they had a model that was a tabletop device, and spoke with them, and they said, yes, we'd get you one to use to take on the mission. But over the course of the 2 years of actually getting it worked out to go on the mission, they actually came out with a handheld camera. It's built on a Canon body, and it has a split lens, and it builds the image off of that. And then even as the years have gone by, it now you can take three specific images, and then put them together on the computer to make one image. So it allows for even more. You know, when it's a small child, like a baby, their face doesn't have as much depth to it as an adult. So one image is generally enough to get the information we need. But with the adults, who then, of course, hold still, we can take the three images and build the image off of that. And so we've been able to gather quite a collection of primary cleft lips.
What is a primary cleft lip?
Hasn't been repaired.
Okay.
Maybe I can comment a little bit why useful and pertinent. In the past, with two-dimensional photography, I take pictures of a patient before they have surgery. and then we take a picture of them after surgery. And so we're able to look at those pictures and we're able to identify the type of repair that was done, how bad the cleft was or how severe the cleft was, and then make a determination about the quality of that repair or how severe the cleft was. But a lot of that is a lot of man hours because you have to physically go through the pictures and then mark down the severity of it and the quality of the repair. So in terms of actually grading our results, it's very tedious. The three-dimensional photography is really interesting, and it's going to speed up this process. If you take a two-dimensional photograph and you look at it, you can't take any reproducible measurements from that photograph unless you have some sort of a reference in the picture, like a ruler or something that will actually tell you the size on the picture. Yeah. Is the
like
size
kind of on a map how they have
exactly.
The legend, yes, the scale.
With a three-dimensional photograph, basically uses, because there's two pictures but taken from different angles, it can take those internal measurements as a reference. And so we're able to take reproducible measurements on the three-dimensional pictures, so we don't have to use any other type of reference on the picture. So we can take angles, we can take measurements, and we're working on right now is trying to build some algorithms with Canfield in order to automate that process. And so just from one picture, before and after, for a child or three for an adult, we're hoping to be able to completely digitize and automate that process so then we can evaluate hundreds of thousands of cleft pictures that, you know, we can develop over time. So it's just to streamline that process.
Do you know, are there any plans in a place to make some sort of repository or database of images from all over the world?
Absolutely. So we actually already have that in terms of digital images, but they're not as accessible as we'd like them to be. They're basically in hard drives, and we're able to find them and locate those pictures. But we're looking at getting that onto the cloud, and Canfield has offered some of their space. Now, none of this has been, you know, followed through. These are just ideas that we're working on at this point. But definitely that's the goal down the road, is that we'll be able to have that accessible from all over the world.
And so if someone in one of your sites was interested in doing that type of research, it would be accessible to them as well?
Exactly.
Correct.
Yeah.
Dr. Calder, how did you get involved with Operation Smile?
It's a good question. I'd heard about Operation Smile during my residency training, and actually even a bit before my medical school training. And I did my residency in Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia in Canada. And my program director was a longtime volunteer of Operation Smile, surgeon who would go, pediatric plastic surgeon, and repair clefts all around the world. And I remember sitting in his office when I first started my residency, and on his coffee table was a coffee table book of Operation Smile. And I think it was from the World Journey of Smiles. And so I remember flipping through that, waiting for him to come to the office to speak with him, and seeing the before and the after pictures, and the whole experience of going to another country, to people's homes, to their country, and being able to give them something that they can't otherwise, you know, get themselves. And that just inspired me at that point in my training. It was very early on, and I looked forward to the first opportunity I'd be able to do that. And the first opportunity I had was with another group other than Operation Smile called Operation Rainbow, and had a chance to go to northern India to do cleft mission. And ever since that mission, I've been with Operation Smile throughout my residency. And then following that, I decided to move down to Virginia for a fellowship and worked with the founders of Operation Smile, Dr. Bill McGee and Kathy McGee, and spent a full year with Operation Smile, traveling the world and working on research and getting to be a part of the family of Operation Smile.
How has your experience with Operation Smile affected the way that you practice medicine?
Really, what Operation Smile has benefited me, not just personally in my experiences interacting with patients and families, but it's given me a wealth of experience operating on kids with cleft lip and cleft palate. When you go on a mission, you'll see, you know, we'll operate on sometimes 150 plus kids in 1 week in less than 5 days of operating. And a typical cleft center in North America may be anywhere from 20 to 40 or 50 children with cleft you may operate on in a year. And so in, you know, my 1 year alone with Operation Smile, I was able to do upwards of 200 surgeries on my own, which is equivalent to, you know, almost 5 years of practice. And so the wealth of experience working with Operation Smile surgeons, and they're very, very skilled surgeons that I've worked with from South Africa, from Australia, from the UK, and throughout the United States. It's really given me a lot of tools and tricks to be able to always improve and to improve the results and the quality for our kids here in Central and Southern Illinois. And so the really neat thing is it comes full circle. All of those experiences help benefit our kids locally at home.
So you're benefiting them abroad here, and then that also benefits the kids abroad in the future. So it's
absolutely.
Just yes. The more you do, the better work it is.
Exactly. In a lot of ways, it's, you know, pays it forward.
Yeah.
Benefits everybody.
Thanks for listening to Sound and Query. For more information about the library, its services and resources, or to learn about future events and podcasts, please visit our website at www.siumed.edu/lib.